Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me again today on this Easter Sunday. Thank you also to everyone who joined on Friday to listen to the interview with Mona Kuhn that was here on Instagram Live. And today I'm going to be reading from her book that we talked about then, just titled Works. It's a bit of a mid-career retrospective, even though she said she doesn't like the word retrospective, but it contains parts of eight bodies of work. There's five different texts, and it was just published this year by Thames and Hudson out of London, and is literally just now hitting stores. And I'm going to read an essay that I contributed to the book. Mona asked me to contribute something to a body of work called Private, which I'll show you some photographs of those pages. And it's work that she made from 2012 to 2014, and it's all in and around the desert, just to the east of Los Angeles, out by Palm Springs and the beautiful Mojave Desert there. So the title of this essay is called The Recesses of the Soul, and I'll read it now. Thanks so much for joining. Deserts have long held a special position in both sacred and profane art and literature as a geography at once harsh and unforgiving, and yet infused with promise and the presence of the spirit. The desert is where prophets and poets have repaired for refuge and sought to commune with the divine, a place of wandering, of profound search, of sleepless nights yearning for communion with the beloved. To be in the desert is to be alone and exposed. It is a place of meditation. It is a place of revelation. It calls forth a mode of being, an orientation to the landscape that is best suited to the seeker. No one enters a desert and emerges unchanged. The number of prophets, saints, mystics, and holy ones associated with the spiritually charged episodes in the desert are too many to list. They are especially abundant throughout the Abrahamic tradition. Moses ascended Mount Sinai in the unforgiving landscape of the southern Sinai Peninsula and was addressed by the I Am, receiving God's word carved in stone. The prophet Elijah challenged the idolatry of the Canaanites and earned the condemnation of King Ahab. He was commanded by God to hide in the Kereth Ravine in the desert to the east of Jordan and to survive on the manna sent down from heaven. After being baptized by John the Baptist, Christ was tempted by and wrestled with the devil for 40 days while in the wilderness of the Judean desert, struggling with the weight of the task set before him. It was while wrapped in contemplation in a cave on Mount Hira in the desert outside of Mecca that Muhammad received revelation, as symbolized by a visitation of the angel Gabriel, commanding him to speak forth. And during a two-year sojourn in the rocky desert wilds of Kurdish Sulaymaniyah, to the far north of Baghdad, Baha'u'llah communed with the divine while living in a cave and revealed a lengthy supplication that begins, quote, "From the sweet-scented streams of thine eternity give me to drink, O my God, and of the fruits of the tree of thy being enable me to taste, O my hope. To the melodies of the dove of thy oneness suffer me to hearken, O resplendent one, and through the spirit of thy power and thy might quicken me, O my provider." The mode of being in a desert is primarily one of exaggerated awareness. Our physical and spiritual senses are heightened. To ancient pre-Columbian cultures, the deserts were a place to seek out visions, to find one's place and orientation in life. The Chihuahuan Desert of northern Mexico yields a plant the locals prophetically named peyotl in the Nahuatl language of the Aztecs, a term that means the divine messenger. Peyote, in the common tongue, has long been ritually ingested by those embarking on a vision quest. For the Mojave tribe of the southwestern U.S., the Sonoran Desert beckoned their shamans, who incised monumental geoglyphs of spirals and otherworldly figures into the sun-baked stone, most of which are so beyond human scale that they are best seen from the air. Quote, orientation is a primary phenomenon of our presence in the world, according to the French Islamist philosopher Henri Corbon. Quote, a human presence has the property of spatializing a world around it, and this phenomenon implies a certain relationship of man with the world, his world, and this relationship being determined by the very mode of his presence in the world. The longtime association of the desert with seekers, visionaries, and those intent on reorienting their inner landscape has not been lost on popular culture of the 20th and 21st centuries. In contemporary science fiction, the central figure from Frank Herbert's Dune series, Paul Muad'Dib, as well as both Anakin and Luke Skywalker of the Star Wars universe, spends significant time growing up or being tested in the desert, eventually emerging from these lands determined and destined to shape the fate of their generation. There are dozens of deserts scattered across every continent of the world, some covering millions of square kilometers, others limited to a handful of hectares. Several of them loom large in our consciousness, such as the Grand Sahara of Northern Africa, or the Arabian Desert Peninsula of Muhammad's homeland. While others are lesser known but still carry a mysterious allure, such as the Karakum Desert of Central Asia, or the Atacama of Northern Chile. The Atacama is reported to be so dry that it mimics the surface of Mars and is the site of research by NASA scientists planning to visit the Red Planet. Every person remembers their first encounter with a desert. For many, they are thrust into it with fear and trepidation. Others experience a deep sense of spiritual homecoming. My first encounter was the latter. The desert was the Sonoran, stretching from southern Arizona down to northern Mexico, and I had moved there as a college-bound teenager, having grown up in the farmland of Middle America. I felt more present and alive in that desert than I had ever felt in the cornfields of my birthplace. Over time, I would travel throughout this bountiful space, for deserts are far more life-filled than others realize. From Hermosillo in the south, through the Pinacate wonderland, to Phoenix in the north. Every visit to a desert ends with my heart more fully open than when I began, and I feel both rejuvenated and inspired. In photographic terms, the light in a desert is grade 5, for those of you who remember graded darkroom papers. The contrast so intense that your eyes have a hard time reconciling the shadows and the highlights. It seems as though there is nothing in between those deep black shadow areas and the burned out brilliance of the highlights. The clarity of the light and air in a desert is such that your eyesight seems vastly improved, if not also assaulted. Cracks in the dirt and stone fissures are razor sharp, and every speck of dust seems to be illuminated from above, behind, and below. Desert light amplifies and clarifies shape and form, eliminating any sense of scale, and deepens the shadows around you. The spiritual metaphor in all of this is not hard to discern. The desert is also a place of intense aloneness. No matter who you are with, you inevitably feel alone. This amplifies the core reality of human existence. We enter and leave this realm as a single soul, alone. For some wanderers, this quality of the desert landscape leads to an unbearable loneliness. For others, it is a welcome period of reflection, the landscape of the monk and the hermit who seek out a more intense connection to source and spirit. One always stands naked and exposed in desert environs. Mona Kuhn's imagery makes this point repeatedly. Her lone figures stand unclothed, either in self-reflection or in quiet repose. Understood from the position of the soul, in the desert you notice not only your own shortcomings, your own darkness, but also that the shadows all around you are intensified. There is no hiding in the brightness of desert light. The light of the sun always finds you out. This very harshness, this directness, seems designed to lead to a spiritual awakening if you are ready for it. The beautiful aspects of your soul shine forth with radiance while the dross of material existence is burned away in the intensity of the sunlight. Those who journey to deserts repeatedly appreciate this dynamic, whether they're conscious of it or not. In Hermetic and Sufic traditions, the hero is a, quote, man of light, held captive by darkness and struggling to free himself from that darkness. This man of light, you, me, and every other human, is clothed with an earthly body. The being of light within us is our true self, while the garment of skin and blood is just that, a garment for a short amount of time. The image that Mona uses to open the sequence of her monograph, Private, is a very telling one. The picture is of something. It's hard to tell what it is, and it doesn't really matter in any kind of documentarian sense. The water-stained material, is it on a wall? Is it a book? Is it inside or are we outside? It reminds us of physical water currents and floods, as well as emotional ones, of the stains, of the stain of joys and despairs. All at once, it appears to be heavenly clouds. It could be a topographical map or a Chinese scroll painting depicting the underworld. Through the middle of this gorgeous texture and just off center is a deep black triangular wedge pointing downwards and bleeding off the bottom edge of the picture. This black wedge contains no information, no nuance, no shade. It is devoid of anything of use to the eye. The multiplicity of meanings that so easily jump out of this image is a perfect starting point for meditations. For what is before us but our own soul, or at the very least, the artist's? This is not the tabula rasa, the blank slate of the soul upon which, initially, no preconceived ideas have been posited. The slate we see here has been stained, sullied, distressed, and near its core is darkness. This is a soul that has lived and loved. This is Mona Kun. This is us. This is anyone that goes wandering into the desert. Kun spent 15 months on regular trips into the Mojave Desert for this project, one she aptly titled Private. The presentation of a very private sojourn to commune with Source and its connection to her own inner voice. In the careful edit of images for the book, all of these physical, metaphoric, and spiritual forces are at play. The environment is set and the details examined. She gazes near and far, searching for clues, for an opening into broader understandings. The images of individuals might be stand-ins for Kun herself. They drift through the book, at times clearly seen, standing in the noonday sun, at other times wrapped in their own contemplation, oblivious to our gaze. They are each classically presented as if to say, I represent all of humanity. And indeed they do. A soul is a soul is a soul, in the same way that a ray of light emanating from the sun is like any other ray of light. In fact, this is the basis of the spiritual theory of emanation, also prevalent in certain threads of sacred traditions. There is always a paradox that lies at the heart of this spiritual truth. If you were to say this light is the sun, you would be accurate. And if you were to say this light, this ray of light is not the actual sun, this too would be accurate. Rumi, the great Persian mystic, who blessed us with numerous odes, poems, and teaching stories, all clothed in the mystical language of seeking and reunion, perfected his art while he wandered throughout the scattered deserts of the Persian and Ottoman empires. Emptying the self, a spiritual metaphor employed throughout history, is never easier than in the barrenness of the desert. In the short afterword that Kun provides at the end of the sequence of images, the artist states, quote, nothing ever comes to an end in the desert. Everything is interconnected. This work is a reminder of that truth. Everything is truly interconnected. From dust we created you, and unto dust shall ye return. What better place than the desert to be reminded of this truth, to bask in the truth of it and carry that home? Thank you.